This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
So again, welcome to Palm Sunday. Eric did a great job transitioning. Thank you for our worship team. We just love them. So this is traditionally called Holy Week, and it's designed for us to focus our attention leading up to Easter. And so, again, I pray that you are focused on what Jesus has done for us. We talked about the suffering of Christ. You know, there was a movie probably, I don't know how old it is, over 10 years old, The Passion of Christ, The Suffering of Christ. And this is a story, that's why we sang the third song, of the story of God himself coming to earth in human form. I fell in love with that song, that just perfect timing for just reminder that God himself came to earth in human form. There's been a tradition throughout the years, historically, that people would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And there's an old ancient text called The Pilgrimage of Egeria, and it describes in the 4th century people visiting Jerusalem and observing what we call Easter Week or Holy Week. And so this goes back many, many centuries. So today's Palm Sunday and includes Maundy Thursday. Have you ever been part of a Maundy Thursday event? I have. Kyle, I don't know if you go way back, but back in the day, we used to do foot washing on campus. And seems to be on Thursdays, I was always getting a little sick. I didn't make those days. What a humbling and powerful time washing hundreds and hundreds of campus students' feet. But it was a powerful time of just reminding ourselves what Jesus did on Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, the night he was betrayed. And, you know, Jesus says, and he told us, there's a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. I love that last song, help us to love like you. And so Friday is what we call Good Friday. And the reason we call it good, not that suffering is good, but what Jesus did on the cross is good. Amen. And his death accomplished on our behalf, and that was good. Last week we talked about, Jesus and suffering, and he prayed the prayer, Lord, take this cup from me. And he but said, not my will, but your will be done. And so Friday, we are going to have a service. As Eric said, it is somber. It's not like a celebration. We do that on Sunday. But it just helps us to recognize what Jesus has done for us. So we don't want to blow past Friday and get to Sunday. It helps us to understand Sunday better if we get a grasp of what happened on that Friday. And of course, then there's Easter. So what is Palm Sunday all about? I've shared this message probably 12 times. It reminds me of this little, I saw this little snippet on YouTube. It was a thespian group out of England, and it was a little scene called To Be or Not To Be. Have you guys seen that? And so that little snippet reminded me of the message, even though it's basically the same message I preached last year and the year before. It's all on the emphasis. It's really cool little snippet. These famous actors in England would come out, and the first guy says, to be or not to be, that is the question. The next guy says, no, it's not the emphasis on the to. It's to be. And then the third guy says, no, it's not that. The guy says, it's to be or not to be. So the emphasis was on different words. It was pretty cool. It's really funny. But it made a point that sometimes you still have the same phrase, but different emphasis. And I pray that God will help you if something will click. You're going to say, well, Pastor Mara, I know this story, but I pray that something else would click that maybe you didn't think about. That's something different that maybe we could focus on the service. If you have the Bible, your Bible is Mark chapter 11. I believe we should have it online, but it says here in Mark chapter 11, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying the colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their cloak over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and while others spread branches they had cut in the fields, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And I pray, God, that even though we may know the story and we're familiar with the story, I pray, God, that something will just jump out and really just challenge our hearts. I pray that, Lord, that we don't walk out this place the same way we walked in, but Lord, that we are a little bit more like you. We say and ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So let's talk about why Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. It's such a big deal. It's the culmination of Jesus's ministry. There was three reasons. First, it was the first time that Jesus had visited Jerusalem since he began his public ministry. Even those who weren't sure about Jesus knew that this is something to watch. Like, hey, this Jesus guy's here. This is kind of important. So they knew to watch this. They knew that he was a man working miracles, had done miracles. They know, and they've heard the stories of him raising the dead, radical teachings, and there were thousands of people following him. So now it's a very important time in Jerusalem, and he's coming to the holy cities and coming to the great temple and surrounded by Jewish people. So if he was going to do anything, if he was going to lead anything, if he was going to declare anything, now would be the time. The crowd is there. The second thing is the city was already in adrenaline mode. It was Passover and the most celebrated Jewish events. Thousands upon thousands of pilgrims would be filling the streets. And remember last week we talked about all the slaughtering that would have to happen during this time. The Passover, celebrating God, what God did through Moses, leading the Jewish people out of the bondage of Egypt and sending the plagues and providing freedom for them. The place was packed. And the third thing, finally, those who were closest to Jesus knew that this is the climax of his ministry. Jesus had been sharing this the whole time. He's been telling them all along what he was doing and where he was going. Look what it says in Luke chapter 9. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Luke 9:51. In Luke chapter 10 says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13 also. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over by the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. So we know that in Luke 18, that this was something the disciples had already heard and knew this is important. This is the culmination, the climax of his ministry. And so Jesus had been moving toward Jerusalem his entire life. His life has a single mission. He was born to die. And this is where the mission was going to be fulfilled. So how did the people respond? And how do we respond? We sang a song that has the word Hosanna, means save us. In Jesus' day, it was an expression of praise. And they liked Jesus. The Jesus they were picturing, they liked. And they were saying, save us. Save us from what? And we'll find out in a second. So they liked this Jesus, and they welcomed this Jesus. And they were excited about this Jesus. And they gave him what I would consider a red carpet welcome. Even to the part of laying down blankets and palm branches and you have a palm branch cross holding in your hands as representative of that. And they laid it on the ground in front of him so that they could honor him. Like I said, this is kind of like a red carpet entrance. It represented giving Jesus honor. In a way, they were expressing that they were fans. They loved Jesus. Kind of like some, you know, not sometimes. I'm not a sometimes fan. I like the Florida State Seminoles. I have a friend of mine. He was a lifelong Seminole. And then this week, he switched to the Gators. I don't know, something about basketball. I don't know what happened, but he was... And I love that young man. He's special needs, and he put on the Gator jacket. And I said, and I texted him, like, "What are you doing?" And he felt so bad. It's like, "I'm sorry, Mario." It's like, "I'm just kidding. It's okay. It's okay, David." This was a red carpet experience. They were fans. People were fans of Jesus, and no wonder they felt that way. And maybe you came to Jesus this way for the same reasons. They wanted what he had to give. They wanted miracles. Anybody here not want miracles? I mean, of course we want miracles. They wanted healing. We all need healing. They wanted food. They wanted money. They wanted jobs. They wanted health. Never to get sick. Anybody would like that? Seems like all my high school friends were all getting sick now all of a sudden. I don't know what happened. They wanted love. They wanted marriages and children, healthy children, obedient children. Who wouldn't want that, right? Some of the people wanted Jesus to go all the way and set up a leadership to lead some sort of military insurrection against the Romans and throw off this yoke of oppression and occupation that they had. And they wanted Jesus to do that. And this is how Jesus responds in Mark chapter 11, 15. On reaching Jerusalem, this is so people are saying Hosanna, they're throwing their cloaks, they're putting their palm branches, and they're saying, save us. Save us from this regime. Save us. Lord, we want to follow you. We want manna. You know, we want fishes and loaves, and we want to be healed. All those things. And understandably, I get that. Probably more than 10 years ago, there was this person who claimed to be a man of faith and miracle worker, and he set up shop in Lakeland, and I'm telling you, people by the thousands showed up. And they were going to this, I think it was at the Tampa State Fairgrounds, and they were meeting there, thousands of people needing miracle. I get it. It's easier 20/20 vision looking backwards, but I did sense in my spirit, this guy doesn't seem legit. Turns out he wasn't. On a side note, I know this is not part of my message, but if you hear someone making claims, listen for facts that you can verify. Like a place. You don't say, "I was at this hospital." You say, "I was at Tallahassee Memorial. And it was last June of, 2024. Okay, so now you have a name and a date. But if it's like last summer in a hospital, it's a little bit too vague for me. So let me just coach you a little bit to listen for good clues. The Bible does tell us to test the spirits. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area. So they've given him his celebration. And the first thing he does, gets off his donkey, and he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for ways to kill him. They feared him. Jesus was adamant about cleansing his temple. Jesus went, after this little parade, he went straight to the temple to clean it out. And the temple represented the center of Israel's worship, and it was viewed as the very dwelling place of God. During the time of Jesus, the temple is where you met with God. Human beings would approach this with sacrifice, and that's why we talked about last week, all those lambs that were sacrificed. And God would respond with forgiveness and answered prayer. So people came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they needed animals. And so they're not going to carry animals all the way from their hometown, so they would buy them, and there was this exchange. But vendors began to take advantage. They would begin to take advantage. So these were not, these were buyers and sellers, people who were taking advantage, and vendors and salesmen taking advantage of the circumstance. And this was not a place for people to make money. This is what we would call excessive commercialism, the distortion of worship itself. It was the opposite of honoring God and worshiping God with reverence. I would say the temple had lost its purpose of being holy and apart and sacred. It had become polluted. It had become defiled. Anything but a place reflective of God's goodness and holiness. To Jesus, this whole event was making a mockery of not only the temple, but of God himself. Why? Why is this a mockery? Because when we come to God, we must come to him in reverence, understanding that he is holy. And we need to come with him with authenticity. Side note again, you know, sometimes I struggle. You know, the reason I wore jeans and t-shirt and looked really cool, as Bryce said, he said I look cooler than him. And I didn't want to argue. But I struggle because it's very casual. And I don't ever want to come to the Lord casually. Now, I understand dress code. Now, I'm not saying we all need to dress in a suit and tie, but I'm struggling at times when I dress like this because I don't want to come into his presence casually. Now, if you're here with flip-flops and shorts, it's okay, all right? This was, I'm talking about myself. But God is holy, and we need to take that seriously. I need to take that seriously. What was happening in the temple is a joke. So what did Jesus do? Jesus made it very clear it's not a game. It wasn't a celebrity. He wasn't trying to be a celebrity trying to gain clicks and views on YouTube. It wasn't like, you know, follow me on the camera so I can do this. This was not a game. This is not a way to get clicks and views. But he understood that this place represented something that was holy. It was a place where God would call people to follow him. So those people were laying their branch in front of him, symbolic of saying, I lay my life down before you. So as we talk about Palm Sunday, I want to challenge us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you follow Jesus, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants to come and revolutionize our lives from the inside out. Jesus is saying to his followers and us, if you want to honor me, which I think we all did beautifully as we honored the Lord, if you want to celebrate me, which I believe we did with the confetti cannons, if you want to do anything with me at all, I just want you to know, this is what Jesus is telling us, I'm going to come and clean the temple. come and clean our temple. He wants to clean our inner self. It's super important. What Jesus likes to do, and he continues to do it in my life and hopefully yours, he wants to expose pseudo-spirituality. A long time ago, I was internet time, email. I was writing a friend that I was having a spat with, and I tried to take the humble route, and I said, I know I am a sinner. You know, I'm quoting like from Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I was trying to take the humble route. Well, that person's response was like, I totally agree with you. I remember getting so mad. So look, who does that person think he is to call me that? Jesus is concerned about our pseudo-spirituality. Me. He came to challenge us about our weak commitments. We talked about how he was left behind by his friends last week. He's going to challenge our game playing. You know, we come to church on Sundays, and it's easy to play games. I use the example. I've been golfing for 40 years. All right? Anybody else golfing about that amount of time? Yeah. I said this at a Chi Alpha gathering. Just because I've been golfing for 40 years does not make me a good golfer. There's a young man that's attended our church. He's on the FAMU golf course. He's probably only 20 years old. So let's just say he started golfing at age 5. So he's only been golfing for 15 years. Okay. That guy is light years ahead of me. Same thing. We could be saying, I've been going to church for 40 years. Doesn't mean much about our spirituality. We could have a young man, a young lady who's been serving the Lord for 5 years fervently. And they have faith. So Jesus has come to just challenge our pseudo-spirituality. Challenge us about where we really are. And he's so concerned. He loves us so much. He wants to cleanse the temple first. Many of the people showed up to Jesus' parade because they wanted a king, because they wanted political security, and they wanted physical abundance. They wanted Jesus to get rid of the Republicans. I'm just kidding. They didn't want a savior to help them get rid of their sins, just their public enemies and political enemies. Not because they loved God or feared him, because they were worshiping a God that just really kind of want, just make me happy, God. Some life lessons. First, it's easy to celebrate Jesus on the donkey, who wants to heal people, feed people, protect people. The one that's going to fix your situation. He's going to be your teddy bear so he can hold you. But Jesus wants to cleanse us. He's not just wanting to rescue us. He is wanting to rescue us, but he also wants to rescue us from us. Too many of us, the pastor at City Church wrote a book basically trying to convince people that they aren't really saved. It's a great book. Too many people who've raised their hands and said, yeah, I want that. And I'm guilty of that early on in my life. We just want someone to calm our fears and answer our prayers and to take cups away from us. But that's only half Jesus. Jesus wants to enter our temple. He wants to clean us out. Why? Because he wants to make you like Jesus. He wants to take your life and have you become the person he has designed you to be and declared you to be. Because of time, I don't want to take too much time, but C.S. Lewis talks about, and he uses the word cottage, so it's really a house. And a lot of times we think that God wants to just remodel the house. My friend Mark was telling me how beautifully modeled the house is, just decorated really nicely. Amber, you did a great job. But Jesus is not interested in redecorating the house. He's interested in, as C.S. Lewis is stating, into basically demolishing and building the house that he has designed for your life and for my life. And so the question we have for each other this morning, the second life lesson, is it's hard to welcome Jesus who cleared out the temple. You know what's interesting about Jesus clearing out the temple? It's a little bit on the wild side. And some people don't like the wild Jesus. They like the well-organized, structured Jesus, you know? They like to get the notes and the bullet points so they know where they're going with Jesus. But sometimes there's, and I'm not saying wild because he's not in control, but our version of control. The other half of Jesus, the ones that confronts and challenges us. The Jesus asks questions like, are you sure you should be doing that? Jesus wants to speak into our lives, about our sex life. I wasn't planning to do this, it's not in my notes, but I tend to be naive, and I don't want to be naive. It's not a good trait that maybe our church is exempt from the challenges of pornography. And I'm being honest with you. I look at you, and I'm thinking, there's no way. Statistically tells me, yes, there is a way. So I struggle. There's no way our men and our people in our church struggle with pornography. There's no way. I refuse to believe it, but I also know I'm pretty naive. Jesus is concerned about that. He's concerned about our sex life. He's concerned about our money, how we spend our money. These were gifts, all right, these shoes. My son said, hey, Pastor Furtick. I'm like, hey. The muscles, okay, I get it. Jesus is concerned how we treat our spouses. So cultural differences doesn't wash with us. You know, I can't say, Latin men tend to be stereotyped into being very aggressive, and stereotyped in Latin America having lovers on the side. I mean, that is like well known. But when we're followers of Jesus, that doesn't wash. It's not we are now been bought with a price. We are now children of God. We are new creations. So we lay away the old self. But Jesus is concerned about what we watch online, how we treat people, our work ethic. This one hurt, and I wrote it down. I was about to erase it. He's concerned about our weight, our language, forgiveness, and how we lack to forgive. Jesus is concerned how we just kind of maybe just not, we ignore it that when God's calling us to forgive. How we treat parents, how we treat children. What do we do with our time? Jesus is concerned about that. And then Jesus, the whole Jesus, starts asking us questions as well, like, how have you served the poor? How did you confront injustice? Have we cared for the orphan, the foster kid? Have we shown compassion towards the widow? Yesterday I was with someone and they got a call from a widow that their daughter was stuck, and this person literally dropped everything they had and went and helped her out by helping the daughter. So Jesus will ask us these questions about the poor, the injustice, the orphan, the widow, the prisoner. Someone I know wrote a story about he went to prison to find Jesus, not to share Jesus. Provide for the homeless, to feed the hungry. And that's why we ask everyone that we want to be followers of Jesus, and he's Savior and Lord. It's both. As long as I can, you probably don't see me because I'm in the front, but I want to bow my knee. I actually literally bow my knee to my Savior. I'm physically reminding myself that I am bowing my knee to the King. So Jesus is Lord means that when we say Jesus is Lord, he's under no obligation to live up to our imagined expectations. A missionary friend of mine, he spoke here, just left maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, Marco Mahar, submitted his life to Jesus, went and raised support for a year and a half, which is hard. Sold everything he had, took his young family, and shipped off to Hungary. And this week, his wife almost died from an infection. And because of the infection, this is public, it's on Facebook. Because of that infection, they had to remove her fallopian tubes. She's in her 20s. Sometimes we have to live a life of suffering and hardship, but that still means that he's still Lord of our lives. So many of us, and your friends and my friends, think that if Christ doesn't fit our expectations, the result is you're going to just reject him, just like the crowds did later on. I'm just here to remind us that Christ, if he's Lord, does not have to fit our expectations of him. All I'm saying is that we must tailor our expectations to what God decrees, not try to tailor God to fit our expectations. So when we say Christ is Lord, we trust him and we submit to him. Let's not be like the people of Jerusalem who hail Christ as their king as long as he fit their expectations. Let's acknowledge him as true king and Lord of our lives, that he is sovereign, and we trust him, and he's good. So you have a little palm branch. In years past, we've asked you to bring it to the front. We're not going to do that. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to hold on to your palm branch and put it in your Bible, put it in your car, put it on your nightstand. And it's just a reminder that we want to worship the full Jesus, not the half Jesus, the full Jesus. So I want to challenge you today on Palm Sunday that you would make a commitment to follow the full Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray, close our eyes. We're going to pray here in a second. Lord, we just say thank you. Lord, true followers, Lord, you have every right to speak into our sex life, how we spend money, how we treat our spouses, what we look online, how we treat people, how we treat people who are different than us, our weight, our language, how we treat parents, how we treat children. Lord, you're going to speak to us in how we serve the poor. Lord, help us to never be laissez-faire about injustice. Lord, help us to care for the orphan. Help us to show compassion to the widow. Lord, help us to not just put out of our peripheral vision those who are in prison and the homeless and the hungry. Lord, those are the things that you've commanded us. And so, Lord, we call you Lord and Savior. Savior and Lord. Every eye closed, head bowed, and just a quick hand raise and say, Pastor Murray, I just want to raise my hand and say, I'm going to make a commitment to fully serve the whole Jesus. If that's you, just do that. Amen. Yeah, me too. I'm raising my hands. Lord, we thank you. On this Palm Sunday, Lord, we're going to hold on to this palm cross and as a reminder, Lord, that you are sovereign and you are good and we're going to follow you. And Lord, we want to be made in your image. And we submit ourselves to you this morning. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. That'll conclude our service. We do have plenty of food for everybody downstairs. And so we invite you to go downstairs. However, I need some help. We have a lot of folding chairs that spread out the facility. We're going to need every folding chair. So there's some here, probably my office and back there. So if you're accustomed to being around this building, if you could help us bring the folding chairs downstairs. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for the food. So when it's ready, we'll get going. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to live for you fully. And thank you for the food that you provided for us. And thank you for the fellowship that you're going to provide for us. I pray, God, that we would honor you in how we fellowship with one another. Thank you for all the hands that brought food. And Lord, I thank you for people who are helping serve. Lord, protect our kids who are going to go wild with all that sugar. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.